Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Small business owner, you're special among Americans. You are a latter-day pioneer of our society and truly one of America's heroes. Welcome back, heroes. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our phone number is 888-822-8255. Let me tell you who our special guest is this hour. He's a new friend and a new guest. Adam Thierer is a 7-year veteran of the Heritage Foundation. He holds the Alex C. Walker Fellowship in Economic Policy Studies at Heritage. Prior to joining the Heritage Foundation in March 92, he spent time in London, England at the Adam Smith Institute, where he worked on the reform of the British legal system, which I'd like to get him to tell us a little bit about that later on. But right now, we've got another issue to talk about. We're talking about broadband telecommunications in the 21st century. Adam, welcome to the show.
Nice to be here.
It's good to have you here, and I'm really looking forward to our conversation today. My audience knows that over the last year or so, year and a half or so, I have brought up this issue whenever possible. We've actually covered this issue to some degree on some shows, in addition to me referring to it as often as I could, because I have known for a long time in my own rudimentary, non-technical way that broadband telecommunications was a very important issue for everyone, not just people who do what I do and what you do. And you've written a piece recently that I've got that the Heritage Foundation sent me that I want to congratulate you on. And the title, folks, is Broadband Telecommunications in the 21st Century, Five Principles for Reform. And I'm looking forward to talking to you about this today.
Great.
Let's identify for the audience what broadband telecommunications is to start with.
Sure. Well, broadband telecommunications generally refers to those technologies and or services which help spur access to the Internet or to online technologies or to high-speed telecommunications networks in general. It is quickly becoming the most widely used word in the telecommunications lexicon today, because policymakers, academics, industry experts, and so on all believe that the future of the American telecommunications sector really is based largely upon the ability of our companies in America to roll out broadband-based internet data services on the most rapid timetable possible to as many consumers as possible. So a lot of people are hedging their bets that this is really going to be what might be considered the equivalent of the oil, steel, and railroads of the future ages, because this is over which all this network information is going to travel, the data we transmit to each other, our electronic records, our emails, our internet things, and so on and so forth. So it's very important.
It's going to touch every part of our lives, our social lives, our professional lives, our educational lives. We're going to, you know, I said in the earlier segment that, you know, that I believe that it won't be too long, and I've read some things where other people are predicting this too, that, you know, you'll be getting most, if not all, of your education this way. And I'm talking a long way down the road, obviously, before you get all of it. But
well, maybe not that far off, because,
yeah,
in fact, we've already seen the applications of this in a more narrow sense in a number of different settings. You mentioned education and how in the future online education might become a very viable reality. Right now, you already have individuals taking a lot of classes through their computers and finding ways to network into their academic institutions. You see a lot of people using telecommuting as a very viable alternative to having to commute to work. These are very early applications of what in the future might become the norm if we have the broadband telecommunications technologies and networks to support that type of development.
Absolutely. And folks, the term that you will hear first with regard to education and what we're talking about today is distance learning. That's the word that they're using. That's the one of the early words, the terms that they're using, Adam.
That's right.
At high schools, junior colleges is what I'm trying to say. And not only that, but entrepreneurial centers, incubators around the country are developing distance learning centers inside their incubators.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, there's also another term, teleeducation.
Yeah.
Some people have referred to it by that as well. And there's no doubt about it. In the future, some form of distance learning or teleeducation will become probably a very viable and attractive model for many Americans who currently have a difficult time either sending their sons and daughters off to distance classes or schools somewhere, or who prefer to have their children at home and school them at home, but have available to them interactive-based technologies and services through which they can get the learning services they on their own do not possess.
Absolutely. I want to stop and talk about a few definitions here. Folks, the term that we're using probably the most today is broadband telecommunications. Now, it has another name. It's also called advanced telecommunications capability, but in the Telecommunications Act of 1996, and folks, I'm getting this out of Adams' document here, broadband telecommunications in the 21st century, the Congress identified this way. The high speed switched broadband telecommunications capability that enables users to originate and receive high quality voice, data, graphics, and video telecommunications using any technology. That's a pretty broad definition, isn't it?
That is a broad broadband definition, no doubt about it.
no pun intended, by the way.
Yeah, no doubt. But the Congress, what they really meant by that was to say that they understood at the time of the Telecommunications Act that there was going to be a radical evolution or maybe revolution within the telecommunications sector that would completely transform the nature of the way various types of communication services were deployed, developed, and deployed in the future. So what they tried to do is incorporate a very broad definition because the technology, frankly, changes so quick that Congress can't define it and define the terms of what they're talking about before something new comes along.
Now, that's what we want to have happen. What we've been talking about is the desirable connectivity scenario that we want to have happen. But what we actually have right now is something called plain old telephone service. POTS is the acronym that you often hear used, POTS.
Right.
And what that means, and Adam, you can correct me if you think I'm overstating the case here. Imagine trying to pour a gallon of milk into a drinking straw without spilling any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to have a funnel for that drinking straw, so when you pour the gallon of milk into that funnel that goes into the drinking straw, it's going to back up on you, isn't it?
That's right.
But when the broad bandwidth hits, that straw that we're pouring the milk through will open up to be maybe a 12-inch pipe.
That's right.
And I don't know if that's a good analogy or not, but
no, it is.
That's the best one I can come up with at the time. Let's take a break, Adam. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Adam Thier is with the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about broadband telecommunications. Stay with us, please. We are back. It's 24 after. Thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your business. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. You're listening to the show that is dedicated to providing small business owners with the maximum opportunity to be successful. Our phone number is 888-822-8255. If you'd like to join us, if you have a question to ask, if you'd like to ask where things are now, if you'd like to ask where things are going, what applications you might be trying to use right now, Adam Thier is our guest. He's our new friend, and he is with the Heritage Foundation. He's written a piece called Broadband Telecommunications in the 21st Century, and I really enjoyed the reading about this, Adam, and what I want to talk about now are some of the applications that people might find broadband capability helping them with.
Sure. Well, a lot of people today are really getting into the Internet craze, and I think it's a good example to start with. Whether it's at home or at work, many millions of Americans are finding new ways to get online, become interactive, whether it's with email or getting on the Internet for their jobs or as a hobby. And they find all sorts of fun things to see and do and to participate in. It's a whole new world out there, which is generally called cyberspace, that Americans are getting to know and to approach each other in.
Some statistics, Adam, excuse me for interrupting,
sure.
Some statistics that you quote and that I have seen, but you quote that some of the statistics of how many people are going to be online in the future, and that by 2002, currently, there are 170 million people online worldwide, but according to your information, by 2002, there'll be 250 million people online, and I've been told, actually, I saw a UN report that said that could be as much as 700 million.
That's right. It largely depends upon how quickly the infrastructure is rolled out in order to ensure more people do get online.
Which is the whole point of our current discussion, isn't it?
Exactly. Because what I was going to say is that when it comes to things like the Internet and interactive technologies, one of the things holding many Americans back from using it even more, or holding many other millions of Americans back from getting it at all, is the fact that the technology that is currently in place in America to provide these services is hopelessly out of date.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, most Internet or interactive or email transactions that take place today still come through that same old straw that you referred to,
mm-hmm.
which is really the plain old telephone system wire.
Copper wire.
Copper and using an analog transmission technology.
Right.
In the future, we're going to have all sorts of different types of technologies providing these services, but hopefully these different technologies will be made out of something far more advanced than copper and can transmit things at a greater rate and more stuff at a quicker pace. And that's really the key to understanding or unlocking what is currently what people are calling the broadband crisis in America.
Well, it is a crisis. You identify it as a crisis. And the only reason why people might not understand why it's why they might not realize that it's a crisis is because the people who are not using the capability yet would not understand it as a crisis, because there are many people out there that don't even know that this other capability exists.
That's
some
right.
of these applications even exist.
That's right. That's very true. For those people that are online or who are using the Internet a lot, we can see this crisis manifest itself in the way information currently moves, which in some cases is at a snail's pace. You see pictures coming very slowly through the Internet, your computer often crashing because you're trying to download something off the Internet that
takes
forever.
It takes forever to load a website that really shouldn't take that long. And how about this? How many times have you been talking to someone about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30 maybe, 3:30 to 4, and you're trying to get something up on your computer, the Internet
and
to talk to them, and somebody says, okay, the kids are home, that means the Internet's slow.
Well, it's not only that, but it's just more people going online out west.
Yep.
And by 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of America is basically online.
Yep.
And the system starts to slow down. It shows you how much wear and tear or strain is being put on the system because of usage, and we don't have enough capacity to meet our demand. So, yeah, it's a serious problem. But as you said, the even bigger problem is the problem that all those millions of Americans out there face who don't have any types of services like this whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Because many millions of Americans live in areas where they don't have the capability to receive the high-speed lines that might be rolled out to get to them or the other types of technologies in order to download information from the Internet or use electronic transactions.
Most Americans, not just many, but most
at
this point in
time. That's right, that's very true.
Probably
especially those in very far-off rural areas.
Well, some of those people are not even getting good signals on their POTS units.
That's correct.
To be able to connect properly. Stand by. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk some more about some applications. We're going to talk a little bit more about distance learning. We're going to pull Eric, my producer, into this discussion here. He's got some things to tell us about that. It's 29 After. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Adam Thierer with the Heritage Foundation is our guest and our new friend. 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. We are back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Adam Thierer is our special guest and our new friend. He's with the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about a piece that he's put together called Broadband Telecommunications in the 21st Century, Five Principles for Reform. Adam, if someone wanted to receive a copy of this, could you send it to them?
Well, if they do have Internet access, they can go right to our website at www.heritage.org.
Okay.
And they could download a copy of this and another paper I put out on the subject this same week. If they want to instead call by phone, they can call 202-544-4400.
Okay, good. If you miss any of that, folks, and you'd like to get a copy of this, let me know, and I'll make sure that you know how to do that. Adam, I want to I'm going to get Eric, my producer, in here in a few minutes. But Adam, before I do, I want to read something that you produced in your someone that you quoted in your piece here. And the guy's name is Peter Huber, a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy Research. And this is what he said about the existing system vis-a-vis the new system, where this thing needs to be going. He says, existing phone, cable, broadcast, wireless, and satellite networks still rely in significant part on yesterday's analog technology. And he says, then skipping over a few lines, it says, which means, in turn, that 80% or more of the wires, trunks, cables, transmitters, receiver switches, and routers that we will be using for digital transport 5 years from now will be built and put into commission between now and then. That's incredible.
Right.
That's a lot of dirt being moved. That's a lot of dirt.
Now you know where the streets are torn up in the middle of Main Street. This is one reason for it, because a lot of companies right now are attempting to do their best to deploy the technologies to provide the services and to supply the demand that is currently out there.
Now, one thing that's very interesting to me, if you believe as I do that technology is just you know, moving ahead at light speeds, literally. About the time we get all this fiber optics buried and everything where all this will work, you know, we've got the big 12-inch pipes to drop all this information through. About that time, somebody will come up with the wireless or the infrared capability.
That's right.
And we won't
need
any of that stuff.
Well, you know, let's hope that that's the case, and we won't have to continue to rip up streets, you know, year after year, decade after decade. It could very well be that wireless becomes the next serious viable option for internet access or other types of services. We already see satellite dishes for home entertainment purposes
yep.
popping up all over the place.
Yep.
I go through trailer park communities and see them all over the place. And so average Americans of all income levels are now finding wireless satellite dishes a viable alternative to cable television and regular antenna TV.
No question.
So that's a really, you know, the next point is, when are we going to take that same satellite dish and start receiving internet transmissions or data through it?
Up and down.
That's right.
See, that's the key, because there is the capability to receive it, but not the capability to transmit it.
That's right. That's the problem.
That's a big deal right there. Eric is my producer. Eric, would you join us, please?
Sure.
Eric, you do something, and by the way, Eric is Superman, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't have to sleep. He has four or five different jobs. One of them is it at a local college, Eric?
Yeah, it's a community college.
And you tell us what you do there.
Oh, it's a state institution, and what we've done is I work in the TV studio there, and what we've done is we've taken all of the community and state schools in the area, and we've linked them up on a video conferencing distance learning system.
Distance learning, just like we were talking about. What problems have you run into with that application with regard to broadband?
We're really having trouble keeping the lines open cleanly. We're having a lot of errors, a lot of interruptions in the lines.
A lot of buffering?
Right.
Yeah. Are you streaming or are you downloading?
We are streaming now. We just got the capabilities about 2 weeks ago, so we're still learning that.
Yeah.
We were downloading up to that point.
So you see what we're talking about here, folks. Adam, is that Eric is actually living. He's actually trying to make these applications be useful to people, but he's having trouble because of the broadband.
That's right. Eric is really an idea entrepreneur who unfortunately hasn't found the technological capabilities to provide the service he wants to provide in a smooth, effortless way. This is a real shame, because his experience can be mimicked by millions of other Americans, small business owners and innovative entrepreneurial individuals who have a great idea but can't make it a reality because the technology can't provide enough service or capacity to meet their demands. In this case, I'm willing to bet that a lot of these services that Eric's providing are interrupted or, you know, go fuzzy at certain times or are just cut off. And in the future, we just can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with education, but think of something like telemedicine, where individuals are having medical records shipped across long-distance lines, or say there's an actual real-time operation going on with two doctors from 10 states away communicating. We can't have any interruption there. We can't have any interference. We can't have it cut off.
Eric, what are your people doing about that? What is the prognosis for the future to be able to solve this problem?
Well, the best way we can attempt to solve it right now is to get isolated lines for our teleconferencing. And
basically dedicated lines.
And I'm willing to bet that's pretty expensive.
They are expensive,
yeah.
And that's the problem with the state.
Right.
The state doesn't want to pay for that, but they want the quality of a dedicated
line. Right,
and some of those examples are DSL, maybe ISDN, or even
T1,
which are very expensive applications.
Oh, outrageously so.
And see, what you and I are talking about, Adam, are the broadband capability at what should be POTS prices.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stand by. Eric, thank you. Good input. And Adam, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 39 after the hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about applications. Then we're going to get into some of the public policy issues that are going on right now that should help this and maybe may hurt this. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us, please. We're back. It's 44 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 888-822-8255. And my website, which may or may not be able to hook up to with a broadband, is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Adam Thierer is our guest. He is with the Heritage Foundation, and his piece that he's written that I've got a copy of called Broadband Telecommunications in the 21st Century, Five Principles for Reform. Adam, my website has available on it the ability to stream, the ability to stream my show live, and also now the ability to stream the most recent show on demand, and we're very near to having hundreds of archives of these shows up on the website.
Right.
Now, what we're doing, and this is capability that's there, it's available, people are taking advantage of it all the time. They're listening to music via streaming, they're listening to sports events via streaming, audio streaming now I'm talking about, not necessarily video, that's a whole other subject. But what we're doing, the capability to make that streaming available is well-developed and it's working fine. That's a race car.
Right.
The connectivity is an under-designed tire on that car.
Right.
Would that be a decent way to say it?
That is a pretty good analogy.
In other words, the tire is not strong enough and good enough to take this race car. It'll get you down the road 55, 65 miles an hour, but if your race car is capable of going 120, this tire will not get you there.
That's a very good analogy, and I think the one you used earlier is just as appropriate as well about the straw. Essentially, you're talking about attempting to put a massive amount of information in the future on the Internet, you know, all your shows, everything you've ever discussed with your guests potentially being available to download from an archive.
That's right.
That's a lot of information. And then you're going to somehow try to get it to consumers sitting at the other end of the line. The problem is that line, as you said before, is nothing more than a sipping straw. And you're trying to funnel all that information through there. Well, there's going to be it's going to clog up. It's going to jam up. It's going to be some really ugly, jammed up, backed up plumbing. And essentially, that situation has to change before your idea becomes a reality and is viable for consumers and is enjoyable. Because right now, downloading these things from your website, for many individuals, is probably a real chore.
Well, now, there are two things that we have to remember. There's one application that's called downloading, and the other one is called streaming.
Right.
And downloading, you're exactly right. Streaming is a little bit different.
Right.
The only difficulty with streaming is the ability to get that file streamed in quickly, and so all it really does now, the only hindrance now with the plain telephone system, is the ability to fast forward in the very early seconds of streaming. In other words, you have to stream for a while and sort of build a little bit of a file in the RAM file, and then you can fast forward if you want to. But here's the thing that's exciting to me though, Adam, and that is that down the road, you and I both know that in a year, in 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, as time goes by, all this connectivity is going to get better and better.
That's right.
But there are some things that need to be done to help connectivity move along at a good pace so that the tires catch up with the automobile, and that's where public policy comes in, isn't it?
That's very true. I think there's many things that can be done. I think the most important of which is just changing the mindset of the individuals who currently govern the policy surrounding the telecommunications industry.
The marketplace and the government.
That's right. And right now we have a very old entrenched mindset that is based upon a model of regulation that was set up basically in the late 1800s in the age of, you know, steel and railroads. And we're living in a far different age today, and the regulation and the rules of the road need to catch up. The fact of the matter is that the telecommunications industry is burdened by probably one of the most complex, confusing, and convoluted sets of rules and regulations at the federal, state, local, and even international level that any industry faces in the entire world. By comparison, the computer industry, which is now becoming a close sister industry, and which we use, and which you use at your show to do things like streaming technologies and to set up internet sites, are for the most part comparatively unregulated. Now, take a look at what you just said. You talked about the streaming technology and the systems you have online as being a race car. the computer technologies you need to set up your internet site and those services are really advanced. They're there. They're right where you need to be, and they can do everything you want.
That's right.
By comparison, the connectivity, the wires and pipes that send that information out to individuals are, again, a very small racetrack or bad tires, as you put it, over which that fast race car is supposed to travel. Well, why is that? It's because the computer sector is generally very unregulated, very simple rules of the road, nothing convoluted about it, no regulatory agencies or overlapping sets of regulators overseeing this, no laws to govern this. It's been a fairly free, evolving industry that has met consumer demands. Communications, just the opposite. Heavily regulated, confusing, overlapping statutes, and so on and so forth.
What are we going to do about it?
Well, we're going to have to change that. We're going to have to equalize and level the playing field. We're going to have to make sure that, number one, that we start to deregulate the communication sector on a rapid timetable so that companies can roll out whatever types of communications broadband services they want on any timetable they want to whomever they want for however much they want to charge. So that's not allowed right now. It sounds very simplistic, like rolling out any service. But it's not the way it works in communications. You have to get permits and applications and so on, everything else. That's not the way it can be anymore.
Adam, stand by. We've got four more of these principles that we want to talk about.
Sure.
Can we wrap up the hour? Folks, it's 50 after. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Miranda.
Adam Thierer holds the Alex C. Walker Fellowship in Economic Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., an organization that I've come to know in the last year or so. They do a great job there. And Adam is our new friend and our guest this hour. We've been talking about his piece that he's written called Broadband Telecommunications in the 21st Century, Five Principles for Reform. And you had just talked to us about the first principle of reform, Adam, which is deregulation and open markets. Talk to us about the next ones.
Well, the next two really are interrelated, which is legal simplicity and stability, and then thirdly, uniformity and regulatory parity. It gets back to the point I made briefly earlier, which is that there are many confusing, overlapping, and contradictory regulations governing the telecommunications sector. Cables treated differently than telephony. Telephones are treated different than broadcasters, and so on and so forth.
And you got state and local and federal.
And that's the fourth principle. We need a single open market system. You have state and local regulations overlapping federal regulations, which can often tell companies to do two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes no sense when trying to roll out rapidly broadband services. Finally, we just need regulatory agency constraint and downsizing. We have the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, and state and local regulators actually growing in America at an unprecedented pace. We have more regulation and more regulators. That really doesn't make any sense if we want to make sure that these services are rolled out on a rapid timetable. So really, the message here is fairly simple. It is just that. Simplicity, stability, same legal norms, simple deregulatory playing field. Let's make the communication sector act and look more like the computer sector, which is doing such a good job right now on its own.
Isn't this going to require some federal attention? And once it does, I mean, I know there are some bills that are being proposed right now that you have graded. Let's talk about those for a second, because this sounds to me like it's going to take an umbrella look at this thing. It's going to have to come from the federal government.
Well, that's right. Basically, Congress is going to have to attempt to deal with this broadband crisis and try to find a way to change the law, at least tinker with it in some small way, such that they can provide the operational freedoms for companies to start to roll out broadband services.
Boy, I don't like the use. I'm sorry, Adam. I don't like the word. I don't like to think about Congress tinkering with it.
I know. I don't either.
That gives me a chill when you say that.
Well, the reason I say it that way is because, frankly, Congress needs to change the law or work on this, because right now they have made such a confusing mess of things with the regulatory policies that are currently on the books.
Yeah, and that's the Telecommunications Act of 96.
That's right. And if they can go back and address the problems that they created under the law, which is creating these confusing regulatory regimes, then I think we can get to a situation where we can have a more deregulated level playing field, but not until they address it.
You've identified five bills, but the one that you like the most that I want to point out to people is the McCain bill.
That's right.
That's S-1043.
Yeah, Senator John McCain in the Senate has a pretty good bill, which would essentially provide a lot more deregulatory operational freedom for telecommunications companies to roll out broadband services free of regulation at the federal, state, and local level. That's the kind of thing we need to get out there and find a way to put into place, because that's the kind of services that we're going to be deploying if we had these freedoms.
Yeah. Well, what are the chances that this is going to be solved in the next year or so?
Well, probably not good at the federal level because, frankly, there's a lot of people here who are more worried about the presidential elections than their elections in general. And every time the election cycle rolls around, the politicians get more worried about ensuring they get reelected than they do providing anybody, freedom.
Meanwhile, advances in the marketplace are put on hold while we wait on politics.
Yeah,
that's Adam,
right.
That's got to be the last word. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Adam Thayer with the Heritage Foundation. We enjoyed it, Adam. We'll have you back again.
Okay.
See you later. Bye-bye. Got to wrap it up for this hour, folks. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.